Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Daebak Podcast, where we do a deep dive into the classic Korean dramas that have won over generations of fans across decades and around the world. Welcome, everybody. Today, we're discussing Lovely Runner, which just finished airing last week and has been an enormous sleeper hit with Korean and international audiences. I'm one of your hosts, Alisa, and I'm joined by Melanie, Vicky, and Joe Beveridge, who may be the biggest Lovely Runner fan we know.
The ultra super fan.
So I'm so excited that you joined us. And for those of you who don't know, she's actually was a huge influencer in the Lovely Runner fandom. I think it's fair to say that with your videos. So
no lie.
Excited. No lie. That's accurate. So, briefly, Lovely Runner tells the story of a fan who travels to the past to save the life of her favorite K-pop idol who dies under mysterious circumstances. And it stars Kim Hye-yoon as Im Sol, the ultimate loyal fan, Byeon Woo-suk as Sun-jae, the stunningly handsome idol with the soul of a loser. And it's all a loser.
No.
There's not going to be any fights. The entire fandom agrees with me, as Joe knows, right? Am I correct? And
it's a term of endearment at this point.
It's a term of endearment. Totally a term of endearment. And Song Kyung-hee as the second male lead, Tae-sung, a cheeky bastard with a secret heart of gold. Yeah. And before we begin, I just want to warn folks that we will be spoiling this drama as part of our deep dive. So if you haven't already watched Lovely Runner, go check it out and then come back and listen.
If you haven't watched it, where have you been? Have you been living under a rock?
I know, right? Like, how would you not have caught up with it? Actually, I do think people are starting it now because they wanted to binge. So there are actually people leaping on board now. But then if you're one of those, binge it, finish it, and then come back.
We're spoiling
it right away.
Yeah.
So to begin our discussion, I just wanted to go through some stats to illustrate what a phenomenon this drama was. It topped Viki viewership ratings in over 130 regions, including India, Australia, the United States, France, Canada, Germany, Brazil, Italy, and Mexico, among many other countries. Right now, Korean TV streamer TVING, I think is how you pronounce it, exceeded Netflix's total usage time for the first time on the day the last episode of Lovely Runner aired. And it's the first time that a Korean streamer has surpassed Netflix's total usage time. And supposedly, the executives at the company held an emergency meeting to analyze the numbers because they were so shocked. It was just unprecedented. And the song Sonaki, which is Sudden Shower, entered the Melon Top 10 on May 13th, which is the music charts in Korea. And it has eventually reached number 5, which is a ranking that even legit K-pop groups struggle to achieve. And it's currently still in the top 10. So, and we can do even more stats than that, but I think that gives you a sample for how loved this drama is and what a phenomenon it was and how truly it's been buzzed about.
Truly a phenomenon. And I will say this is one of my, you know, it was just so enjoyable because you felt like everybody was watching it and we were watching it week by week. And that just made it even more enjoyable. And then we had all of Joe's, what do you think's going to happen? let's analyze this time travel. I just had, even though it was kind of cute and fluffy in a lot of ways, it had stuff to talk about. Maybe not F4 Thailand levels of symbolism of every costume or whatever, but still it was, like, it felt like everybody was watching it. And there was a week I was out of the country and I wasn't caught up. And I'm like, what are my priorities? Like, you know, like, I need to be up to date on this drama so that I'm not spoiled by, you know, going into any social media. It was crazy.
And it's still raging.
Yeah.
It's still eating up Twitter. It's still eating up Reddit and Instagram. It's just all over the place. It only ended a week ago, but still, I mean, to have this level of intense interest is pretty amazing. So I'm just curious, like, one by one, I'd like everybody to just kind of give a brief, like, how did you feel about this drama before we start to dive into it more? And Vicky, start with you.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. Lovely runner. It was a surprise gem. I was probably one of the few that when I first saw it, I was like, oh, okay, another idol drama. I'm not interested. Because I had my eyes set on this other drama, which shall not be named, that disappointed me greatly. So everybody knows.
Yeah, we know.
But, you know, I went into Lovely Runner and oh my God, by the end of episode 2, I was like, I'm in. And I don't know, like, it was just a very light drama. It was refreshing, and I feel like it came at a time where none of us was, like, expecting anything grand. We were all, like, either in a K-drama slump, or we were, like, just, you know, vibing. And then it came. And to me, personally, I thought everybody did their part. From the lead, the female, the side characters. I thought that it was a well-rounded cast. Even though they were very underrated, they're not, you know, they're not, like, super popular. They didn't have much advertisement. They didn't have much promo. But it was like a surprise, underrated, well, not underrated, but like, what is the word? Underdog hit that just kind of rose organically. And I feel like they just deserve everything that's coming their way. It was a good drama. I recommend. That's all.
I don't know if I started it the very first week that it started airing. I think, Lisa, you started watching it. Joe, I think you started tweeting about it. And I was like, okay, like, I can't, you know, and I was like, all right, I guess. And then I sort of rapidly caught up because it wasn't too many weeks in, but I'm like, it was definitely so bingeable. I mean, our male lead is so adorable, so cute. Like, you're sucked in immediately. And I do have just the whole initial first episode setup of this sort of fan fiction drama about a K-pop idol. Are you kidding me? Like, that is just totally my jam. So I was totally into that. So, I mean, we rapidly move away from that for the most part, you know, but it becomes much more of a high school drama. But it just hit me in the feels. I'm not going to say this was my most favorite drama ever, but it was so enjoyable to watch. And, you know, these were mostly fresh faces for me, which was also kind of nice too. You know, some of the supporting characters, the dad, the mom, we've seen them in many dramas, but as far as our leads, they were more fresh faces to me. And that was fun. Joe, go ahead.
I mean, I started because it was time travel, because it was me. Reasons I started it. What I found fascinating, though, is that we just had a string of time travel dramas.
Yeah.
This one's coming up at the end of all...
I'm watching another one right now.
Time travel fatigue. Yeah, me too, right? We'll talk about that one later. But I was hooked in from episode one. Really, I reckon from the bridge scene, because I thought that Byun Woo-sop, what he was doing on that scene, you could see it in his eyes. That there was something more going on here. I always thought that you could see that from episode one. I was like, okay, there's a mystery here. He kept looking at the little, you know, jar of lollies. I was like, hey, something's going on. I don't know what it is. But it just ended up being a really beautiful love story. I actually loved that it wasn't as complicated as we all
thought. Oh, my God, yes. I love it.
And I couldn't explain. Like, normally I'm in for the confusion. I'm in for the mystery. I want to solve things. And even though there wasn't a lot to solve, it didn't matter. I was in each week. I was just like, I was rewatching scenes. I was getting up before work, which I have to get up at 5 to go to work. So, you know, I was getting up at 4 to watch this before getting ready to go to work. I just wanted to see the adorableness.
No, my favorite thing was going on Instagram. I was obsessed. And getting the 5 a.m. video with tears streaming down Jeff's face because of the latest episode. It was so great.
I don't even know if it was tears or if it was just sheer exhaustion.
Lack of sleep. It was lack of sleep.
It
it was delirious. Oh.
I mean, Elisa, how did you hadn't been really watching a lot of K-dramas, to be honest with you. You know, like you had been trying out more Japanese dramas and different things. And I was kind of surprised to see you getting hooked on a K-drama
again. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was like not just this one, but suddenly a bunch of dramas dropped that I was interested in. So I actually started a bunch of currently airing dramas at the same time, which was kind of, like you said, surprising because I had been out of K-dramas for a while and kind of feeling like meh about a lot of them. And, you know, so I Lovely Runner. So how do I talk about this? I really enjoyed it. I thought it was super cute. But I definitely did not feel the obsession that so many people felt. Like, I just didn't. Yeah, I thought, wow, this is really cute. I like the actors. It's cute. It's sweet. I never, but I mean, the level of emotion, the outpouring of, you know, love for this drama, the obsession, the constant posting, the all of that was kind of, I was kind of sitting here going, wow, like, I really don't understand it. Like, part of why I wanted to do this was just to be like, hey, explain it to me. Like, what was it about this drama that made it so cracky? I mean, there's definitely, but obviously there's really good stuff. Like, I want to give a shout out to Byeon Woo-suk because it would not have worked for me at all without him in that role.
Absolutely.
This isn't my genre. You guys know this. I don't usually go for super tropey romances. It's not my thing. And his character is implausible. Yeah, it's a gorgeous, wealthy, famous guy who's never been in a real relationship in 15 years and still hung up on his high school sweetheart. I mean, this is like absurd.
I mean, they kind of reply he died a virgin in the first episode.
Right. And I'm like, he's a virgin. And so, like, the whole concept of the character was so ridiculous, right? But then he sold you on it. That's what was so amazing to me, you know, because he's so beautiful to look at. He's stunning.
And I had seen him before in Flower Crew Joseon Marriage Agency. And he was perfectly fine, but it was a really different role. He was playing a player. Like, he hung out at the Gisaeng house and he was always sleeping with married women and getting information. He was super slick. And I mean, he was definitely noteworthy for his appearance because I was like, wow, that guy is really good looking. Right. You know, how could you miss him? But otherwise, I wasn't impressed with him at all. And then in Lovely Runner, it was the contrast between him being this stunningly beautiful man and being ridiculous, you know, like just being such a throwing kisses and getting jealous and those laughs he would make when he was pretending not to be jealous, like ha ha ha, you know. Or like when they were in the 8th episode when she's trying to stay in his apartment all night and she says, you know, can I have ramyun? And she goes, an dwe? I don't know, which I guess means like, can't I in Korean? And he goes, dwe, in this like choked voice. And that was just so charming. He really made it for me. Anybody else in that role, and I probably would have dropped the drama. He's the one who kept me going, for sure. Totally. And Kim Hye-yu, well, I don't want to, but you know, that's like, what did you guys think of him? I mean, I guess you guys agree. Right, like on his performance.
Well, I mean, Kim Hye-yoon, the role was written for her, wasn't it?
I'm sorry?
It was literally written for her. Well, the role of Im-seo was literally written for
her. I know. And the thing is, though, like I saw her in Extraordinary You. And honestly, it's very similar performance and role. I like Kim Hye-yoon a lot. I mean, but I wasn't surprised by it. Anything I saw from her in the drama, you know what I mean? Like I felt like, yeah, she's doing what she does. Like she's good at it. And she did the role the way you would expect her to do the role. So I didn't have that sense of like, whoa, that performance came out of nowhere. Where did that come from? I didn't know this person was capable of it. Whereas with him, I definitely had that sense of, I didn't even know he could do this. You know, I didn't know he had the comedy chops for this and, you know, to do that.
Yeah, but you, Vicky, was it him that just totally sucked you in?
No. At the risk of sounding shallow, yes, it was
him. Hey, look.
I mean, can you blame me? I was minding my business and I just tuned into this drama and this man just walked out of nowhere singing like an idol, looking beautiful. And then you have him be a loser in love? Are you kidding me? Come on. It's like they gave all the recipes that I needed and they gave it to him of all people. And it's like, like it was eye candy. But beyond that, I really just liked, like Alyssa said, for me, it wowed me. I mean, I had seen him in, what was it? I had seen him in that Strong Girl drama that he did a little bit, you know what I mean? And I saw him in the drama he did with Bogum and Park Sodam. I forgot the name. I don't know if anybody remember. Yeah, that drama. It's not that memorable. But anyways, I remember thinking, oh, he's so cute. Like, you know, I like him. He's a model. Cool. But this one, I feel like gave him range. You know what I mean? And like you said, Kim Hyun, I've seen her in other dramas. I know she can act. Like, I mean, you know, she does her thing. She did her thing in Extraordinary You. She did her thing in all the Sky Castle. She's great. You know, so I feel like a lot of us already knew this is like her drama. She's gonna, you know, lead this the way she could. That's why I think he became a surprise hit for a lot of us because nobody was expecting it. You know what I mean? A lot of us just kind of thought, oh, okay, he's just going to be like, I can't, you know, nice, but nothing. But I do think that he definitely showed more range here. And if it also wasn't for her as well, I feel like they worked together. It worked out. I appreciate their partnership because at the same time too, yeah, he did great. But it would have also kind of been if she wasn't equally as, you know, great too and on par with emotions and just kind of working with each other. So to me, I don't know, both of them were the reason why I stayed. You know, I went in just kind of like, oh, they're cute. And then I was like, okay, they're cute.
Yeah.
They're cute. You know, like they're cute. I liked them together. And I thought, I think that's what made me stay. Yeah. And the story was also cute. Yeah,
I mean, they had this, you know, sometimes you just can't bottle the on-screen chemistry, right? Something on paper, it can be more than what's on paper when you have two certain actors on screen making it come to life. And I definitely felt like we had that here because at a certain point, it didn't even really matter so much to me because we had so many twists and turns with the story and the stupid serial killer and all of that. But I was on board because I wanted to see the next cute thing that these two kids were going to do together, right? Yeah. Like, that was what it was all about. Yeah. It was just like, what embarrassing situation are they going to get in next? Where, you know, and where you're just going to die of secondhand embarrassment for whatever it was. And so that their chemistry was really kept me going and wanting to see, are they going to get that happy ever after in that final episode? So Joe, go ahead.
Totally their chemistry, 100%. And also just, you're right, every, you're hanging out for the next setup, for the next ridiculous moment, like where they're sitting in the restaurant watching the Olympic, and then she spits out, like he asks her to spit the hot dumpling out into his hand.
Yeah.
Like those little moments all the way through it, you were just, those were the things that got reshared. Those were the things that people were talking about. It was like, we talked about the plot as well, but we were there for those ridiculous setups that were just so endearing and so character building as well. Like, you really got a sense of who these two people were just from these interactions. And one thing I thought that could have been cringe and never was the fact that in episode one she was a fan going to save an idol, and the progression of watching her actually switch from loving him as a fan and then loving him as a man was really well handled, I thought. Like, I just, I didn't know how it was going to happen, but they did it in such a good way. I loved it.
It could have gone really creepy, even it didn't. So I agree with you. I think, setting it up so that he was already in love with her, I think,
helped.
Is because then it wasn't so fixated on the fan stuff. It was, you know.
The plot twist that we all needed. That was definitely one of them.
Episode two.
And the other thing that I was thinking about is, like, this was a source of frustration for me, but then I realized it's maybe the genius of the program is that I felt like the time skips got really repetitive after a while because you had the same emotional beats in every time skip. You had a lot of the similar comedy moments in every time skip. You know, like the ages of the characters changed, but what happens between them is almost the same in every era. And I thought, well, you know, for me, I was like, oh, we're doing this again. But then I realized for the fans, it meant, oh, we're doing this again. It means that you're getting fed the tropes four times as much. There were four time skips. So the fact that that fourth time skip came out of nowhere and made no plot sense, and there was really no reason why by the rules of the universe you should have been able to skip a fourth time, but nobody cared. Nobody cared because you got fed all of the good stuff again one more time. And that was really, it was kind of like a machine to feed you romantic tropes from a cast that was really good at it, you know, and not just the two leads. The whole cast was very strong.
Yeah.
I like the parallels, though. Like, I feel like in every time travel, while it was repetitive, I felt like they always made it different in a way. I don't know. That was just my perspective of it. Like, I felt like it was similar, but then they would do it in a way where it was kind of like mimicking what was done before, but was kind of like a parallel. You know, it was like the same thing happened, but in a different way. I felt like that was the theme that kept on happening with each time skip after like one or two. I was like, okay. It seems like they will kind of like get rid of this, but then add this one. And it's like the same emotions, but it's like, you know, oh, I feel like I've seen it before, but I haven't. It's new. So I don't know. Maybe that's why it worked for me, because I usually don't like time travel dramas because I also feel the same way. It's repetitive. Or sometimes it doesn't make sense. But I feel like this time, though it was repetitive, they saved it by giving us something to kind of like compare what we already had to. Like, it was like, oh, in this episode she held this way, but to this one she's doing this way. I don't know, it felt new to me. I don't know if that was me. That was it.
Yeah, well, I agree. Like, I agree.
It always felt like they try to
the only bit that ever really
go ahead, Joe, but
go. The only bit that I ever thought that ever felt like it was deliberately repeating was their kind of meet cutes in each different time. Each, like, outside of that, it usually actually varied quite a bit. But when they were first meeting, it was kind of displaying this idea that what's happened before is going to, like, there's a high chance it's going to happen again. So they just needed to have that, like, the line where he's like, I didn't make you cry, did I? Or what the line was. Those are the bits that repeated, but that was always at the meeting. After that, it deviated quite a bit. It was like this time she follows him to the apartment and that kind of stuff. So for me, it was never repetitive in that sense. It was just a necessary part of explaining the time travel.
I think Elisa and I were contrasting it to the last podcast episode that we did was on a Thai boy love called Be My Favorite, and that also had a time travel device. But what the way that we saw it used was that the main characters really grew and changed from each time he would go back and he would tweak one thing and think, okay, I've solved it, right? And then come back and realized, oh no, and then have to go back and kind of grow. And I don't know that I necessarily, especially for our female character, I don't know that I necessarily saw her have this huge growth, you know, other than her mistakenly thinking, okay, I just have to erase myself from his life. And that's how it's going to solve this. I did like the whole we're fated, whatever, we have to be together. I ate that up with a spoon. I'm not taking it, but I'm not, I didn't really feel like, I don't know. I didn't necessarily feel like either of them had this huge level of growth. Other than, okay, we beat the serial killer boss in this level, so now we're gonna go back. I don't know. It just kind of felt like
I don't know. I agree with you. I really that was a big frustration for me, because usually in a time travel story, I've seen so many of them at this point, for whatever reason, not voluntarily, it just happened, but like you have a character, the character has a problem, and so they think that changing something in the past will solve the problem. And then in the course of the time travel, you the character discovers and we discover that they were misguided, that they're, what they thought needed to be solved isn't what actually is going to fix the problem, that they actually have to undergo some personal growth and change and maturity to really solve the problem, and that the time travel alone is not it, right? And that's generally how it goes. But with these characters, they're literally, to me, emotionally, the very same people from start to finish. They don't change. They, you know, they're the same at the end.
Yeah.
And so that to me got frustrating. Another.
I know that.
No, go ahead. No,
go ahead. You go.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to agree in terms of, I feel like the only thing that really evolved was their relationship, but there were so many things between the two characters that I would have loved for them to have dug a lot deeper into. Like, we've talked about how I wish they'd gone into Sol's disability more and her feelings about that, and then even Sanjay's injury, or even whether the first episode he did die by suicide, or whether it was still Yong-soo who did that, which I'm assuming is, but they never really actually stated if it was or not, especially when you compare it to the grandmother's scene at the very end of episode 16 where she's like, be happy now. And I'm like, well, is that because he gets to survive, or is that because in episode one he was in such a bad place? I don't have those answers fully. And so I would love to have dived a bit deeper.
Like, he was depressed. I mean, we don't know who killed him or if he suicided, but he was depressed and he was leaving the group, and we never found out why. It was never explained. There were so many things like that that just never got silly things. Like, why was Taesung outside of Seol's apartment in like episode 2 or 3? We never found out. We don't know, you know.
Right, I want to know.
I would like to know, you know. And so here's what got repetitive for me. Every single time skip had Seol falling into Sanjay's arms. Every single time skip had an accidental kiss. Every single time skip had Sanjay getting jealous of Taesung and then doing like some kind of, you know,
drinking,
waving contest, right.
Yeah.
Every single one, you know, obviously the serial killer was in every single one. Oh, and that was allow me to whine a little bit. I'm sounding like I hate being a hater, and that I'm not, because I, like I said, I love the chemistry between the leads. I love the performances. Taesung was a favorite character of mine. I absolutely loved him. I thought he was charming. I loved his scenes, but like, at the very end, when the serial killer shows up, why is Taesung the one who takes him out? Kind of, sort of, not really, because it's a truck of doom. I was so mad when the truck of doom showed up. I was like, how could you? We spent the whole drama with Seol and with no explanation for why that final time jump was the one that ended the cycle. There was nothing about that time skip that was so special that it should have been the end at that point. It didn't really make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, it just ended. Yeah. And it didn't. And like, as a writer, I'm going to sound real obnoxious, but I mean, with, you know, the idea is that you get a protagonist that has a problem, right? They have a protagonist and antagonist. When the antagonist meets their end at the end of the story, the protagonist should be the person who causes it, or at least the protagonist should be present when it happens. They weren't even there when the serial killer dies after confronting him over and over again through the whole story. That to me is just not satisfactory at all. I was just like, you guys are kidding.
I looked at it at a whole different angle. But then again, I think it's because, like, the theories were lovely, but I think that sometimes us fans, we overestimate the stories just a little bit. And I feel like that also is what hurts us in the process. I have been burned and by too many of that. So for me, I guess I kind of went into this, like, you know what, I'm just going to take what I get, right? And I'm just gonna enjoy it as it goes. Even if something doesn't make sense, I'm like, okay, whatever. I just like the cute part. So I didn't really dwell on the mechanics of it all. Like, it has to make sense. Time travel, in essence, doesn't make sense in my, I mean, it's not something that there's no rules. You can make your own rules, I feel like. And a lot of dramas go a different way with time travel. I mean, we see it in a typical Family. Is it, what is it called?
Atypical family.
Yeah, you see different vibes, completely different vibes of time travel versus Lovely Rider. So sometimes I do think that obviously it's more of what we prefer. I don't really prefer time travel, so maybe that's why I don't have such a strong opinion about it. However, I do think that the whole villain arc, I feel like he was just meant to just be a villain in the sense of he was just one of those comic book villains where anybody that he just meets, he would kill them pretty much. I think that was kind of the end goal that the writer went with, at least towards the end to me. It felt like, because when that time slip happened, he didn't get to meet them. Therefore, he didn't have an issue with them. He wasn't chasing after them because he never met Soul and Sanjay. He never interacted with them. Therefore, his whole victim became somebody else. Whoever he met that he was in contact with became a victim. The girl that was his stalker. So I don't know. To me, I felt like that was just basically saying that this whole thing started only because of that encounter he had with her. That one time she was at that bus stop. And this is a psycho man that's just willing to kill anybody. I mean, we saw that he had already killed somebody, you know, in the during that episode, that he was already wanted for murder. So I don't know. I guess I went into it thinking, okay, this guy is just crazy. He will kill anybody pretty much. Like, if you get in his way, he's going to kill you. So therefore, how he died to me was just like, he just had to be dead. Somebody was going to kill him. It didn't have to be from the leads. I mean, yeah, it would have been kind of picture perfect, but I think it was because the lead, they weren't his sole victims. He just was a murderer, a villain. And whoever he wanted to kill, he would kill. And if he could, he could. And therefore, because she changed this whole thing, they didn't have that interaction. So I don't know. I guess I looked at it that way. So I wasn't as bothered by that doom of truck. I thought he deserved it. In fact, that was satisfying to me for the first time. I was like, okay, just go.
I was yelling at my screen, freaking. I'm just like, what? Truck of doom? What?
Yeah.
Where have you been, you 16 episodes?
Take him. Kill him.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because here's what I look at is like, there's got to be internal consistency there doesn't have to be, but I mean, ideally there should be. It's obviously time travel doesn't exist, right? But fantasy worlds create rules and then you have to follow the rules. When you start to get really loose with the rules and the internal logic of the story, things start to get funky. And that's, to me, it definitely got after episode 8 is when it really started to gradually get worse and worse. Episode 8 was the peak. Well, episode 8 was the peak for me. I absolutely loved it. And I think it's telling that it was, they were adults in episode 8.
Yeah.
And their interaction was very sexy. This is the episode where she's trying to stay with him all night so that he doesn't end up getting killed or out the window. And he doesn't know her, like she's just some fan, right? So she's coming up with all these excuses and, or I guess he knows her, but anyway, there was some weirdness about it. No, I can't remember, but anyway, but their interactions were so mature, you know, like flirty, and the kiss was amazing. And it just like, I really enjoyed that part of the story. So then when we regressed after that back to college, it really, for me, started to feel like, okay, well, now we're back to them being kids again. Now we're back to Soul behaving really awkward and shy with him as if she were actually a 20-year-old, but she's not. She's 34. She's already had this physical encounter with him in the previous timeline. It didn't feel consistent. So I had problems. Somebody else should talk because I'm in the minority.
Okay, going back to the truck of doom and the villain. Hey, Joe, how did you feel about that ending for that arc?
I just want to talk about 20-year-old Soul for one second, though, because we're just talking about that. I thought that the reason when she came back that time, it wasn't that she was like an awkward teen again. It was that she had just watched him die again. Like that, I wish the show had kind of really sunk into like how the impact that would cause on someone having seen it first. First, your savior has died in episode one, and then episode eight, the person you're in love with has died. Like, and then you've gone back and you have no idea how to fix this. It's happened twice. And you're like, this is my last chance. And to the best of my knowledge, he died because of me. Yeah. That is where her head is at that point. It's and so for her to want to avoid him, I actually liked that in episode nine. And especially that scene where they're sitting on the, I don't know, that little play equipment thing, whatever it was. She's just crying at him. Like, why can't you just leave me alone? Like, why would you keep hurting yourself to, like, help me? And that was a really great scene to kind of show, I think, where she's at emotionally. And then, of course, going back to the Truck of Doom for a second, I agree that the story did not listen to any what we define as appropriate, like, writing tropes, as in, like, the protagonist should be there for the antagonist. But you know what? I don't know who set up those rules, and I didn't care that they were defied. Like, I was like, someone said that's how stuff should be written. And then Tae-sung summed it up at the end. He's like, why do we keep giving these, and I agree with this in terms of real life as well, why do we keep giving killers such amazing monikers and backstories and we want to define everything about them when some of them are just a-holes and we want to actually understand victimology a bit more? And sometimes there's a young woman walking down a street and a man has targeted her and she ends up unalived. I'm just like, I think the hard thing was we didn't find that out until episode 16.
Yeah.
It's so easy to see villains constantly given all of this backstory. So we want to actually do that. And this drama was like, nah, he's just a piece of crap. Like,
It was the education. And
I don't know, it was interesting.
Just to be clear, he did not need a backstory. I didn't care about that at all. It's just that he was so tangled up with the main characters. He spent more time with the main characters than the other actors did, like, when you think about it, like, in terms of screen time. So it was just a very abrupt end after all that. But I hear what you're saying. I don't need to know anything about him other than he has an eye twitch and he drives a cab. Plenty of that, guys. That's all I needed. But it was just, you know... I agree with that. But I think it speaks to the fact that why are people watching this? They're not watching this for the time travel. They're watching this because of the romantic tropes that are getting served up. That's it.
Yeah.
Like the scene when they're at the beach in Hyun's hometown and they have the bedroom scene. Everybody, the way everybody's hard eyes came out just now. I mean, it's a beautiful scene, you know? It's just, like, so beautifully shot, and they obviously have amazing chemistry, and they look so comfortable. I mean, we've seen so many awkward K-drama scenes where they look like they have a gun held to their heads and any kind of skinship, and this is not that, obviously.
Boy, have we!
I know.
Oh, my gosh! It was so refreshing! We just got normal, like, interactions, and I love that! And not like...
Like, yeah, like
there's once in the midpoint and maybe once at the end.
Well, there were kisses after in every time skip, I think.
Yeah, there were.
And Byeon-woo Suk behind the scenes seems like a very snuggly guy with like the whole cast. You know, he was constantly touching everybody. So I think that came through, you know, that he's comfortable doing that in those scenes, which is great. And then, I mean, Kim Hyesun is, has proven through Extraordinary You that she knows how to generate chemistry with very tall co-stars. So she's tall, gorgeous co-stars. So we know this already about her. So... so it totally worked. And I mean, that still doesn't kind of, I mean, for me, like I said, somebody who I did have like problems with the story and wasn't so overwhelmed by it. I mean, why is this turning into something where, I mean, this is an unfortunate thing. The actor's getting stalked right now. Mm-hmm. And if you're not aware of this, but Beyond the Stalked is getting stalked, which is the downside of this
phenomenon. Yeah, he's blown up. Like,
and, yeah. He's at the top. Like, they have these brand indexes.
Yeah, I saw.
And he's at the top of the brand. I mean, and normally that's like the guy who is the star of Queen of Tears, who I'm blanking on his name, but that he's the top guy usually.
Yeah.
And right now, Beyoncé is over him. I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she saw his name.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is it? Explain it to me. Like, why is it?
I will say something positive about the writing.
Okay.
So the last episode in so many K-dramas, you feel like they ran out of gas. They had the big climactic moment in episode 15. And then it's an hour of product placement and filler, right? and rehashing flashback scenes or something, right? Like, we've seen that over and over and over again. And so we're ready for the proposal. We're ready for it to be amazing. And it was so wonderful that, first of all, it was incredibly awkward when he was on the boat. It's just like, you're not going to do one of the, there's not going to be fireworks. But then when he realizes she needs to feel this fulfillment of her career goal, that she wants to be a director, and then he lets her have that moment to shine first, because he's still a K-pop idol. Like, once they announce their relationship, you know, she's her whole life is going to be upside down and overshadowed and whatever. So I did actually love that there was kind of this interval where she's like, yeah, I'm really busy, I can't, you know, spend time with you, and just doing her thing, and he was letting her shine. I love that. So that, you know, way to it was still a little bit, you know, filler feeling, but it was so positive. I'm just like, it's not all about you. She can have her moment too. And I love that.
I do have this random thought I just remembered. In a way, I think with episode one, when he wanted to quit being an idol and wanted to be an actor, I think, I mean, I'm just, like I said, I'm probably overestimating the writer right here, but I think that in some ways, she never wanted to be an idol. I think that in a way, him singing was a way for her to notice him. Or that song that he sang for her, that said in shower. It's weird, but now I'm looking at it like, because it seemed like the last time Slip ended with him being an actor, and he's happy. Like, he's not, you know, he remembers now that he used to be an idol. He doesn't even miss being an idol. He's clearly happy being an actor. And I remember in episode one, he wanted to act. He wanted to quit, right, and become an actor. So I was just like, huh. It was probably maybe executed well, but I think maybe in some weird way, I don't know. It just, things were, that's another thing with time travel sometimes. It can be too muddy because it's so much you have to cover. Like you know, it can be a lot. Too many characters, too many time, like, holes that you just forget to fill. But I do think that at the end of the day, she just kind of wanted to achieve this whole thing of, these are two people meant to be together. And they're just gonna go through hell a little bit, but eventually, somehow, life will find its way. He is finally gonna be this actor he wanted to be, and she's gonna be this producer she wanted to be. And I don't know, I think that when you just kind of sum it up like that, then you see, okay, maybe it's just a light drama. You know, I feel like it's never, maybe it's not meant to be as deep as we would have expected. Or as we wanted it to be. And maybe that's why people like it. Because it really is light. It is like youth. It's like, oh, colors, so lucky, songs, idol, pretty. They're in love. You know, and I think that sometimes people just like that a lot. I mean, prior to this drama, there was a drama that was Aaron. That was, you know, big cast, that, you know, everything. But it just, like, every scene was, like, sad. And, like, people were like, oh, my God. And then you have Lovely Rana come. And it's like, just you and I, you know, like, you have this fun, yeah. You know, no, because I was answering Alice's question of why, you know, why maybe people like it. And I think that sometimes people just like dramas that it just kind of goes. You don't really have to, even though, yes, we did have our own theories, you don't really have to really, like, I don't know, dig into it. You just enjoy it as it is. You're like, okay, this is what's happening. They're time traveling in this episode. She's going to go back. They're going to come this, it's this, you know? And then you just call it a day. It ends and we clap and we call it. Versus dramas where it's like, okay, this and that. Yes, this, ooh, cast. Ooh, okay, this. Sometimes, I don't know. I feel like maybe Lovely Runner was just one of those dramas that it just was meant to be.
Vibes. It was good vibes.
Yeah, just some vibes. I don't know. Like, it wasn't, like, perfect. Personally, it's not, like, my top favorite drama. But I get why people like it, you know, and I get why I liked it in that moment. So, I mean, yeah, it has all the recipes, I feel like, to be a hit. And it just became a hit. You know, they did it right. I mean, chemistry and everything else, they got it. So, I think.
Joe, why do you think it grabbed you the way it did?
I think that, I mean, one thing that I saw that was really interesting that people were discussing was how it compared to King the Land and how it sort of has that, like, you're watching these two people fall in love and the plot's just, like, kind of irrelevant. And I do think that at the end of the day, you know, around, I think it was around episode, oh, was it 12? Yeah, 12 where she ended up, or 13 where she ended up time jumping again because she had a fourth chance, that I kind of threw the rules and plot out the window a tad for me. I was just like, okay, if we're defying the rules and it's not a minimum of three, I can't, if I hang on to this, I'm not going to enjoy it. Like, I just knew that because I'm a very rule-based, world-building-based person as well, as probably obvious from my theorizing. And so I was questioning in the middle as well whether he even wanted to be an idol, which is what you were just saying, Vicky, like, did he want to be one? Yeah. I thought based on the way he was acting as a teenager, he never wanted to be one. It was just a thing that happened because he couldn't swim anymore. And in episode one, he didn't want to be one, you know, he kept saying no to CEO Kim whenever he's like, here, take my card. He's just like, nah, I'm good. And then he was an idol in episode 8 again, but then I wasn't shocked when he wasn't one in episode, you know, final time jump.
He chose for himself. Huh?
And it's.
But it's interesting that, like, he was still.
There's no influences. There's no guilt.
Yeah.
Oh no, but I found it really interesting that he was still famous. Like, he's not an idol, but he's.
Have
still
you seen his face, Alyssa?
No. Look, I mean, yes.
I'm not surprised he's still famous.
No. I only bring it up because I'm annoying, but also because, like, it came out of nowhere. Like, why did he become an actor? There was never an indication he cared about anything like that. And then. Mm-hmm. But it kind of felt more like, because the fantasy to start is the hot, famous, rich guy helplessly in love with the ordinary girl. That's the fantasy. Mm-hmm. And so you could not end that with him just being a guy, broke. A coach.
Right,
yeah. Like, you know, like,
he'd be rich. You know, he started as a UPS delivery. He's going to get up real like that.
Yeah. Or even just an average person in an office, right? That wasn't going to, or like, you know, taking over his father's restaurant. It was never going to happen, right? I just found that interesting because it just came out of nowhere. Yeah. But I think that the show, it really does transcend logic because I think it's just, it's a feel generator. It's it's just like a crack hit after crack hit to the amygdala of just like squeal inducing moments and swoony moments and the connective tissue is whatever, you know, it doesn't really matter. I will say, I'll say it had more of a plot than King the Land. That I will say.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean to compare it to King the Land.
No, but you're not the only person making that comparison.
I just meant in terms of, like,
I've seen other people say the same thing. But I do think that there is a comparison in the sense that King the Land was just a moment after moment after moment of sweetness, sweet things, and then not really anything for it to hang together. I think Lovely Runner did a better job than that. But I mean, I think the plot holes or whatever, like the illogical things with the time travel, are irrelevant, as you said, because that's not what people came for. Yeah. It came for, you know, the, oh my God, I'm drowning. It just feels like I'm in love with these people. It feels like, you know, it's just this overwhelming emotion, an ocean of emotion, you know, that you can just swim in. And people are going through mourning right now. Yeah. The fan response is really interesting. Like, people are saying, I don't know what to do with myself anymore. Yeah.
What am I going to do? And because that was one of the interesting things about it is that it was a Monday and Tuesday drama. Because people putting it out really didn't have the, this is going to be a huge thing. Oh, because it would have been a Friday, Saturday drama. All right. I want to give some love to our second male lead, Song Gunki playing Kim Taesom. Like, oh my God. Oh my God, the bad boy.
I loved him.
I loved him. Even when he had bad hair. I loved him.
I loved him. He was my favorite character by far. He was really my favorite. I just loved him.
I wasn't surprised. I saw him. I was like, Alyssa's going to like him. But it's like he has all the recipes that she would like.
Yes, it's true. No, I just like that.
True beauty. You like
the setting to go by.
Well, I just like guys that are
little... true beauty.
Yeah.
Oh, him. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, him too. But like,
well, the writing is like Roger is true beauty, and she's so good at writing second leads. Like, she just nails it.
Well, you know, she actually said the reason why she made Taesong not fighting because of true beauty. She learned her lesson from that whole thing that started from the fandom. So she said she wanted to create, you know, a more loving chemistry between the male lead and the second lead male. Because of that, so
they did good with those bromance scenes. But I loved how he could see through her when no one else could. He's like, oh, how many is
there?
Right?
Yeah.
Like he. I mean, when nobody else had a clue, he immediately could say, oh, yeah, you're the other one. You're back.
His little smirk,
he was so smart and funny. Yeah. And I love the way he enjoyed poking Sanjay. Mm-hmm.
He was a fun character. I loved him in
the, the scene where he's sleeping over and he just keeps needling him because he knows he can. I know, it was like, I love it. But I mean, that's definitely much more my type of character. Like, I don't really, there were a few things in the drama that didn't really land for me, but I know that the fandom ate it up. Like the whole thing of like, I'm ready to die for you. And I don't care if I die, as long as we're together. And my brain went, wait a minute. No, sir. Like, don't do that. Like, we should want to live together and not die together. Like,
I agree with that. I'm not into that whole thing either, but...
But the fandom loved it. I mean, it was, you know, such a huge moment. I think that was in the second or third time skip. I'm trying to remember, but like, where he finally figures out that she's a time traveler and she's like, well, you're going to die. And he's like, I don't care. And I'm like, really? You don't care? Why didn't you care?
I did like the line, you know, stop moving away from me. You can just like, you can just, we can just.
Well, that, yes, that's a very romantic.
Yeah, that line. One was nice. Yes. I like, yes.
But I mean, there was so much like, okay, like if you'd clued him in to what was going on, like when she left him on the bus and she's trying to protect him, and it's like, okay, like if you were like, clue him in with stuff and then maybe he won't die. Like,
yes.
So I'm not taking some self-defense classes.
Speaking of writing again, I thought you had Soul keep going solo through, you know, one time, two times, three times. I thought that the final time skip was going to be her realizing that she can't do it alone and that she and Sanjay are going to have to unite to take down the enemy. And that didn't happen. It never happened.
But guess what? Maybe that would have made it too typical. We thought it would happen, right? Maybe that's why it didn't happen. In a way. I mean, in a perfect world,
For me, it was again... speaking to the fact that the characters didn't evolve and they didn't learn anything throughout. There was no lesson. I mean, not that they have to be lessons. I'm not talking about like taking lessons like pills. I don't like didactic stories, but it was just more like as a exhibiting the growth, and that there was no growth. They were the same. at the end, except that the taxi driver died. So like, yay, we can be together, which is fine. I mean, you know, I like I said, I think that where it really the drama really took off was just those incredibly sweet, endearing moments. And Byeon Woo-suk is like, even though he looks like a model because he was a model, he's got a very warm affect. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he does.
His eyes are very warm. And the way he carries himself, he's definitely not carrying himself like, ooh, look at me, I'm the hot guy. I mean, he can do that. He does that in the idol scenes, but that's not like the appeal. The appeal is when he's just radiating. Yeah.
He shows us his stuff.
Well, this was a really sweet scene. They showed the behind the scenes with the halmoni in the last episode where she pats him on the heart. And they were rehearsing and he couldn't stop crying and he wasn't supposed to cry in the scene. And they finally said, fine, cry in the scene. And they let him cry in the scene because he couldn't stop himself. And he was hugging her and, you know, like, so he's naturally like a warm person, you can just tell. Yeah. And so, and it came through in the character. And I think that that's unusual. Like, we have a lot of cold, he's the opposite of a tsundere. That's the appeal. You know, like,
he is a cinnamon roll through and through.
Yeah.
He is.
Cinnamon roll, but also effusive, like completely unafraid. Like the scene, one of the best scenes in the drama is like when he's throwing kisses at Seol after she goes inside. And then he turns around and In-hyuk is looking at him. And then he starts throwing kisses at In-hyuk, you know, and who's horrified, you know, by what he's seeing. And he's like, I don't care. Yes, I'm blowing kisses because I'm crazy about this girl. I'm head over heels. I don't care if you see me doing this, you know. So I think that was, you know, and that's what I meant by loser, by the way, at the beginning of the podcast. Like the fandom, very affectionately, the fandom was talking about is loserism, which I agree is like key to the whole special magic of
people love it drama. Actually, like, I've noticed that, especially you see it in the whole, I know it was Stronger Bongsoon, that was like one of the things they love with Park Hwan-soo's character. He was just like a loser and it blew up too at that era, you know. They love them together, like, I don't know, people just love it. People love that type of character. So
Joe, you may have been the most obsessed on this podcast of this show. Were you satisfied with the way things wrapped up and the ending? I mean, I kind of liked that she tried one time where she just like, I'm gonna eliminate myself from your life. And you know, I think that was kind of a logical thing. Like, if she never meets me, then none of this will happen. And then they get to fall in love all over again. So I was mostly on board with our final twist. But I'm wondering if you were satisfied with the way everything wrapped up.
Yeah, I was. I mean, there was, of course, questions that I didn't have answers to. But I thought that in terms of having seen him die for a third time, and this time literally watching it happen, where she ended up in that final fourth time jump was absolutely believable to me. I don't know how she managed to jump earlier to what she normally has, but it doesn't matter, guys. It doesn't matter. She just did, okay? And the fact that we just got a final episode of just being able to see them together after all the angst of them not being allowed to be together was really refreshing. I wish more dramas gave us a full episode of characters being together, and it was so delightful to watch. It just felt like it was what we needed. You know, they wrapped up the serial killer storyline in 5 minutes at the beginning, and we just got to have the emotional fallout, which was the thing that they actually focused on in the entire drama anyway. It was always about that relationship, that fated relationship, and how much they loved each other. And that was what we got in those final 1 hour of television. One thing though that I'm curious about, just back to Taesung for 1 second, is the fact that even though I don't know if it was intentional, he was always there for the big time travel changes.
Yes.
He was there for the fire scene. I don't know how his dad was there, but his dad was there for when she gets attacked. I was like, okay, at least that's family related. It's blood, you know. And then he's there for the successful stopping of Myung-soo. And I was like, okay, if I'm doing a spin-off, it's understanding how Taesung is like taking over for Seol's grandmother for being some kind of time travel wizard, because that is what happened in that drama. I'm convinced that he's giving someone the next time travel journey. It is some weird magical thing going on, and that's where I've landed. Me filling in my own gaps.
I felt the same way. Like, there were so many signs that he could have been another traveler. Just the fact that he knew when Old Seol was there. And he was the only one. He was there when they put the fire out.
Right. He was the one where she felt like the timeline could never change. And because he was there, and she told, you know, it's like he was able to change the timeline, change fate, whatever. And so I kept, you know, when we had that fire scene, I'm like, okay, he's the key to everything. Like, somehow he's. And then was like, okay, I mean, yes, his car was the key to, you know, stopping the serial killer or whatever. But I don't know. Like, I mean,
I heard he wasn't even in the book, right? He wasn't, his character wasn't in the original. Nope.
Joe, did you read the webcomic or whatever it was? Or would you wanting to be not spoiled as to what was going to happen next? So
I never read it. I just never found it either.
People,
it was good. It'd be so different anyway. So that's why I kind of just ignored it.
But to me, that was one of those dangling threads that I found irritating to be. But you know that the thing, the trend of having an episode, ending episode where there you get to see the couple together. Actually, Marry My Husband had the same thing. So, and I guess maybe I didn't watch Queen of Tears, but Queen of Tears had a similar thing, right?
They definitely had kind of an epilogue where you saw that they had kids and all that.
So. Yeah, so that may just be like a new trend. I don't know.
You got like 15 minutes of them happy, I think.
just a little bit.
But at least Marry My Husband gave you a full wedding and the babies and the whole thing. And
what did you guys think about the other supporting characters? I mean, her best friend, we have seen her in other dramas, and she has been so funny in the past. Like, sometimes she was like a little bit too much for me in this one, but she was mostly very funny, and I loved all of her different hairstyles. It was pretty amusing.
Her and brother's relationship was kind of for me.
I fast forwarded through everything with them. I just didn't. And I've seen her before and liked her. It wasn't, I don't think it's the actress. I think it's the way the part was written. So when I did thumbs down, guys, I'm not dragging the actress. I don't think it's her. It's the character writing. I didn't. Yeah. And it felt like a waste of time because it didn't really it wasn't funny. It didn't really take us anywhere.
Like the toilet jokes. I'm not.
Yeah. And there were so many. the father getting in the toilet.
I just don't understand why Seol never really got a friendship with her best friend. I thought that at some point the best friend would feed into Seol's journey in some way. And I was really gutted because they set up their friendship beautifully in episode one. She's like driving her around and she's constantly there for her. And even when she gets stuck on the bridge and she's probably meant to get public transport home, her friend is there. It's like that level of friendship was so beautiful in episode one. And the fact that they never, like, she never became part of the time travel journey ever. No. She don't think she ever even found out about it.
No.
And that gutted me because it felt like it's such an important element. And even just her family, the fact that they never let them be, like, the communication issues that she had with her family, them never telling her who saved her in episode one, or them never talking about her kidnapping. Like, there's so many things where they never talked about it. And I thought, great, maybe they're going to start to unpack things. So I was really disappointed that those side characters never got to be part of the growth and journey.
They sacrificed the friendship for her to get close to the brother. It was like, no.
It was such an intense laser focus on Seol and Sanjay that it just didn't leave any room for any development. Because, like, we didn't care that the serial killer didn't get developed, but really nobody got developed.
Yeah, no.
You know, and so that was...
the interesting thing with webtoons sometimes. Like, I don't know how it goes, but the ones that I've read, because of how it's written, sometimes when it comes out in, like, you know, real, like, a drama, it can be very... It can be what you see, what you saw with Lovely Run. And, like, sometimes in True Beauty, I had the same issues with the flow of things, because there's just something about it that it's, like, a disconnect, because you only see one centralized view sometimes of characters. You don't get to see enough, I don't know, you don't, it's something off. I don't know, like, I don't know how to describe it, but it doesn't translate well enough when it becomes a live action, if that makes sense. And I think I've seen that flaw in like webtoon adapted drama. Sometimes there's a disconnect.
They can be a little sketchy unless the writers are good at adapting.
Yeah, unless the writers are good at adapting.
Because, it's a really different experience to skim or read a book versus
it is.
A film thing.
It is. But they did what they could. It was fine. It was okay.
Yeah. So, I'm wondering where Byeon Woo-suk and Kim Hye-yoon are going to end up after all this. Like, I'm wondering what their careers are going to be like.
Well,
I'm really curious because there's suddenly this huge buzz. And
he needs to pick a good drama next year.
Yes. Well, he should definitely, like, leap into a better quality drama.
Yeah.
For his next one.
Do you all wonder who they originally offered Sanjay to?
Do we?
I know.
Do you wonder that?
I know who they were thinking of, and I'm so glad that they did.
Who was it?
I like him. I will not name names.
Oh, man. When the camera's off, you gotta tell me. I wanna know.
No, yeah, you know. As soon as that's off, I wanna know.
I mean, I honestly don't, I can't imagine anyone else playing it, because you have
Wasn't this in development hell for like 3 years or something?
Yeah.
I mean, it took them a long time. Yeah.
And, you know, he was unproven because he'd never done a lead role before. And, you know, you need to have the combination of stunningly good looking and yet able to be so warm, effusive, over the top. You know, that's the charm of the character. And it's
the character was a lot. Like, the character was a singer, a swimmer, heart eyes, lovable dork loser. Like, he was just so many different things. He was 34 and 19. Who can do that? Only Byeon Woo-suk.
And he had to learn how to swim for it too.
And he had to learn how to sing. He didn't know how to sing. He took voice lessons.
Geez.
And he's charting. It's so really he deserves all of the I know about the online controversy about who's getting credited, who's not, and but I honestly, truly believe he deserves the credit he's getting.
Yeah.
I don't.
He worked hard.
It's out of proportion to what he did.
And this, I mean, let's just say also the soundtrack was fire. I mean, the soundtrack
was
so catchy as well. So, you know, I really enjoyed the soundtrack.
Yeah. So, my final question is, like, do you think a year from now this will be a drama people recommend or not?
Yeah, I would.
I think so.
Especially
because of the ending. Like, that episode 16 wrapped up for a lot of people. Like, it was just like, you know. Well, I think people will recommend it.
I do wonder if fresh voices coming in to watch it will have some of the plot questions that we do have. But overall, I think that it's just such a beautiful drama. It's impossible not to love it. Like, it's just, I mean, maybe some people don't love it, but I personally loved it. And I would recommend it so often.
I think it feeds you so many tropes and good vibes. And if you enjoy seeing those kind of chemistry moments, there's certain dramas that you feel starved for those moments. Like, they're so plot heavy and you're like, geez Louise, can these two go on a date or something? Like,
for God's sake.
Right? Like, I mean, sometimes there's so much plot and this one just gave us so much good vibes. So, you know, it would depend maybe on the person I'm recommending, but definitely if somebody's yeah. like, oh, I just need something light, you know, and enjoyable and romantic. Yeah, I definitely would recommend.
I agree.
To them.
I agree. Same thing.
No. And to Elisa, if she had never watched it, I don't know if I would.
To me.
And if I dropped, and I dropped Queen, didn't drop it. Like, let's give it up for Lovely Runner, because Elisa did not drop it.
Okay. I didn't drop
it. Did not drop.
You have no idea. When I saw she was watching it, I was like, no way. Yeah, people
we
know me.
You're so known.
Why did you stay? Like, why did you not drop it? I need to know.
Why? Because why did you not drop it? Everybody else stayed. Because of the feels. Right. I mean, because of the cute moments and, you know, the romance, and it was cute. And I will say that my enjoyment gradually dropped off to the end. I didn't actually love the ending.
Oh, episode 13, I was just
that was my least favorite episode.
And even episode 16, I was just cranky because I was like, truck of doom, and literally like the rest of the episode, I was like, truck of doom, you got to be kidding me, truck of doom.
No, it's so all from your mind.
Like I said, for me, it peaked at episode 8. But no, it's a very cute drama. I would definitely say, you know, it's
really awesome to have a drama that pretty much the whole fandom was watching together. And that was what enhanced the experience. Yeah. Those that are going to come later and just binge it are not. I mean, it was just really enjoyable. And we had a little bit of that with Marry My Husband, but it wasn't as big, right? It just wasn't as big as Lovely Runner. And that was part of it. It was just the fan experience of, you know, what crazy theory is Joe going to have this week? But I mean, literally, it was just so fun watching with everybody.
None of them came true. None of them.
But I enjoyed watching all of them. But it was just really an enjoyable fan experience.
I gave up by episode 14. I stopped theorizing.
After episode 13, and you're just like, forget it.
Some of the threads I saw, and I knew reading them, I was like, none of this is happening.
And none of this is happening. So obvious.
I was like, bless you, but none of this is happening.
Like, come on.
I mean, the craze for this drama is real. Just before we started recording, somebody sent a link to us of this. I can't remember the name of his Instagram account, but I mean, he's a very famous guy that's in LA, and he all does about Korean content and explaining things. And he was unboxing. He got the watch from the show. He got the watch from the show, and he was just over the moon showing, you know, the watch. And I'm like, oh my God, like, you know, like the reach of this, you know. So
with no promo,
product placement. I know, with no promo.
Right? Yeah. Oh, TV and Monkey Kingdom, like they're me right now.
I didn't get a chance to read the article in any depth before this, which is too bad. But apparently, they did workshop the drama, and they had focus groups with women before the drama aired, and so that's actually unusual for K dramas, and I think that had a lot to do with the success. I mean, they just found a different way to tap into, well, what do women actually want to see, and then the drama served it up. So
it served it up.
Right, but no, I just think that's very interesting. First of all, I was surprised they haven't done that before. I would think that's standard, but apparently it's not. But Lovely Runner did it, and so I think that's going to be a lesson for the industry. Yes. I'll send you the article, Joe. I'd really have to go look for it.
Reshoot.
Yes.
There's all this footage of them in different outfits with different hairstyles and stuff like that. And then suddenly we're all realizing, oh, it's because they've reshot.
Yeah.
So they changed. I wonder what prompted
director.
The reshoot.
Yeah, three directors.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, they changed directors in the middle of the shoot.
They did. Yeah. So, I mean, it would be. I feel like you could almost do a podcast just on the production itself and then how that came together, because it is different than the typical drama. And I think that probably had a lot to do with the success of the story, of the, you know, why people got into it so much.
Yeah, I mean, so many other dramas, you feel like there's this one strong director with a vision or whatever, and I had no idea that there was three different directors. Wow. Wow. All right. Did everybody do their final thoughts? I would definitely recommend it to somebody. What, Vicky, like, not everybody's nodding. For those who are just listening, everybody's nodding. Yeah. But like, it will be interesting, like you say, if the, like, Crash Landing on You, kind of the bloom came off the rose a little bit over time. It's like, you know, because that was the first drama for so many people, and then we sought out and saw better dramas after that. But you know, this one was just so light and fun, and I like you, Elisa, I'm going to be very interested to see where these actors grow next, right? And what heights to his career are we going to see? Like, what kind of drama is he going to choose to do next? I you know, we're all going to be waiting with bated breath. Like, all right,
the pressure is on.
Okay, so anybody else want to have any final thoughts?
Joe, what are you going to do with yourself now? You're going to make.
I am catching up on work that I did not do for 2 months.
And sleep.
Keep on looking at, you know, while I'm waiting. While I'm waiting for new episodes of The Atypical Family, I'll just rewatch episodes of Lovely Runner.
Isn't it two more episodes? Keep
watching there for a reason.
Yeah, two more episodes of Atypical Family.
I need to watch the last Sunday's episode.
Yeah. It's really good. You're gonna.
Well, I'm really glad that we could all get together and talk about this. It's so rare to be able to talk about something right after it airs. And this is only a week after the final episode. So that was really awesome. Yeah. And yeah, it's good to see you guys again and talk about dramas again. So this was wonderful. So thanks everybody for joining us. Elisa, any final thoughts?
No, I'm just glad that we're here, and let's do more.
Let's do more. All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.